Even as the sun with purple-coloured face had ta'en his last leave of the weeping morn, rose-cheeked Adonis hied him to the chase. Hunting he loved, but love he laughed to scorn. Sick-thoughted Venus makes amain unto him, and like a bold-faced suitor gins to woo him. Thrice fairer than myself, thus she began, the field's chief flower, sweet above compare, stained to all nymphs, more lovely than a man, more white and red than doves or roses are. Nature that made thee with herself at strife, saith that the world hath ending with thy life. Vouchsafe thou wonder to alight thy steed, and rein his proud head to the saddle bow. If thou wilt deign this favour for thy meed, 1,000 honey secrets shalt thou know. Here come and sit, where never serpent hisses, and being set, I'll smother thee with kisses. And yet not cloy thy lips with loathed satiety, but rather famish them amid their plenty, making them red and pale with fresh variety. 10 kisses, short as 1 long as 20. A summer's day will seem an hour but short, being wasted in such time-beguiling sport. With this she seizeth on his sweating palm the precedent of pith and livelihood, and trembling in her passion calls it balm, earth's sovereign salve to do a goddess good. Being so enraged, desire doth lend her force courageously to pluck him from his horse. Over one arm the lusty courser's rein, under her other was the tender boy, who blushed and pouted in a dull disdain, with leaden appetite, unapt to toy. She red and hot, as coals of glowing fire, he red for shame, but frosty in desire. The studded bridle on a ragged bough nimbly she fastens. Oh, how quick is love! The steed is stalled up, and even now to tie the rider she begins to prove. Backward she pushed him, as she would be thrust, and governed him in strength, though not in lust. So soon was she along as he was down, each leaning on their elbows and their hips. Now doth she stroke his cheek, now doth he frown, and gins to chide, but soon she stops his lips, and kissing speaks, with lustful language broken, "If thou wilt chide, thy lips shall never open." He burns with bashful shame. She with her tears doth quench the maiden burning of his cheeks, then with her windy sighs and golden hairs to fan and blow them dry again she seeks. He saith she is immodest, blames her miss. What follows more, she murders with a kiss. Even as an empty eagle, sharp by fast, tires with her beak on feathers, flesh and bone, shaking her wings, devouring all in haste, till either gorge be stuffed or prey be gone. Even so she kissed his brow, his cheek, his chin, and where she ends she doth anew begin. Forced to content but never to obey, panting he lies and breatheth in her face. She feedeth on the steam as on a prey, and calls it heavenly moisture, air of grace, wishing her cheeks were gardens full of flowers, so they were dewed with such distilling showers. Look how a bird lies tangled in a net, so fastened in her arms Adonis lies. Pure shame and awed resistance made him fret, which bred more beauty in his angry eyes. Rain added to a river that is rank, perforce will force it overflow the bank. Still she entreats, and prettily entreats, for to a pretty ear she tunes her tale. Still is he sullen, still he lowers and frets, twixt crimson shame and anger ashy pale. Being red, she loves him best, and being white, her best is bettered with a more delight. Look how he can, she cannot choose but love, and by her fair immortal hand she swears from his soft bosom never to remove till he take truce with her contending tears, which long have rained, making her cheeks all wet, and one sweet kiss shall pay this comptless debt. Upon this promise did he raise his chin, like a dive-dapper, peering through a wave, who being looked on, ducks as quickly in, so offers he to give what she did crave. But when her lips were ready for his pay, he winks and turns his lips another way. Never did passenger in summer's heat more thirst for drink than she for this good turn. Her help she sees, but help she cannot get. She bathes in water, yet her fire must burn. Oh, pity, gan she cry, flint-hearted boy, 'tis but a kiss I beg. Why art thou coy? I have been wooed, as I entreat thee now, even by the stern and direful god of war, whose sinewy neck in battle ne'er did bow, who conquers where he comes in every jar. Yet hath he been my captive and my slave, and begged for that which thou unasked shall have. Over my altars hath he hung his lance, his battered shield, his uncontrolled crest, and for my sake hath learned to sport and dance, to toy, to wanton, dally, smile and jest, scorning his churlish drum and ensign red, making my arms his field, his tent my bed. Thus he that overruled I overswayed, leading him prisoner in a red rose chain. Strong-tempered steel his stronger strength obeyed, yet was he server to my coy disdain. Oh, be not proud, nor brag not of thy might, for mastering her that foiled the god of fight. Touch but my lips with those fair lips of thine, though mine be not so fair, yet are they red. The kiss shall be thine own as well as mine. What seest thou in the ground? Hold up thy head, look in mine eyeballs. There thy beauty lies. Then why not lips on lips, since eyes in eyes? Art thou ashamed to kiss? Then wink again, and I will wink. So shall the day seem night. Love keeps his revels where there are but twain. Be bold to play. Our sport is not in sight. These blue-veined violets whereon we lean never can blab, nor know not what we mean. The tender spring upon thy tempting lip shows thee unripe, yet mayst thou well be tasted. Make use of time, let not advantage slip. Beauty within itself should not be wasted. Fair flowers that are not gathered in their prime rot and consume themselves in little time. Were I hard-favoured, foul or wrinkled, old, ill-nurtured, crooked, churlish, harsh in voice, or worn, despised, rheumatic and cold, thick-sighted, barren, lean and lacking juice, then mightst thou pause. For then I were not for thee. But having no defects, why dost thou abhor me? Thou canst not see one wrinkle in my brow. Mine eyes are grey and bright and quick in turning. My beauty as the spring doth yearly grow, my flesh is soft and plump, my marrow burning, my smooth, moist hand, were it with thy hand felt, would in thy palm dissolve or seem to melt. Bid me discourse, I will enchant thine ear, or like a fairy trip upon the green, or like a nymph with long dishevelled hair dance on the sands and yet no footing seen. Love is a spirit, all compact of fire, not gross to sink, but light, and will aspire. Witness this primrose bank whereon I lie. These forceless flowers, like sturdy trees, support me. Two strengthless doves will draw me through the sky from morn till night, even where I list to sport me. Is love so light, sweet boy, and may it be that thou should think it heavy unto thee? Is thine own heart to thine own face affected? Can thy right hand seize love upon thy left? Then woo thyself, be of thyself rejected. Steal thine own freedom and complain on theft. Narcissus so himself forsook and died to kiss his shadow in the brook. Torches are made to light, jewels to wear, dainties to taste, fresh beauty for the use, herbs for the smell, and sappy plants to bear. Things growing to themselves are growth's abuse. Seeds spring from seeds, and beauty breedeth beauty. Thou wast begot to get, it is thy duty. Upon the earth's increase, why shouldst thou feed unless the earth with thy increase be fed? By law of nature, thou art bound to breathe that thine may live when thou thyself art dead. And so, in spite of death, thou dost survive in that thy likeness still is left alive. By this, the lovesick queen began to sweat, for where they lay, the shadow had forsook them, and Titan, tired in the midday heat, with burning eye did hotly overlook them. Wishing Adonis had his team to guide, so he were like him, and by Venus' side. And now Adonis, with a lazy sprite, and with a heavy, dark, disliking eye, his lowering brows o'erwhelming his fair sight, like misty vapors when they blot the sky, souring his cheeks, cries, "Find no more of love, the sun doth burn my face, I must remove." "Ay me," quoth Venus, "young and so unkind, what bare excuses makes thou to be gone? I'll sigh celestial breath, whose gentle wind shall cool the heat of this descending sun. I'll make a shadow for thee of my hairs. If they burn too, I'll quench them with my tears. The sun that shines from heaven shines but warm, and lo, I lie between that sun and thee. The heat I have from thence doth little harm. Thine eye darts forth the fire that burneth me. And were I not immortal, life were done between this heavenly and earthly sun. Art thou obdurate, flinty, hard as steel? Nay, more than flint, for stone at rain relenteth. Art thou a woman's son, and canst not feel what 'tis to love? How want of love tormenteth! Oh, had thy mother borne so hard a mind, she had not brought forth thee, but died unkind. What am I that thou shouldst contemn me this? Or what great danger dwells upon my suit? What were thy lips the worse for one poor kiss? Speak fair, but speak fair words, or else be mute. Give me one kiss, I'll give it thee again, and one for interest, if thou wilt have twain. Fie, lifeless picture, cold and senseless stone, well-painted idol, image dull and dead, statue contenting but the eye alone, thing like a man but of no woman bred. Thou art no man, though of a man's complexion, for men will kiss even by their own direction. This said, impatience chokes her pleading tongue, and swelling passion doth provoke a pause. Red cheeks and fiery eyes blaze forth her wrong. Being judge in love, she cannot right her cause. And now she weeps, and now she fain would speak, and now her sobs do her intendments break. Sometimes she shakes her head, and then his hand. Now gazeth she on him, now on the ground. Sometime her arms enfold him like a band. She would, he will not in her arms be bound. And when from thence he struggles to be gone, she locks her lily fingers one in one. "Fondling," she saith, "since I have hemmed thee here within the circuit of this ivory pale, I'll be a park, and thou shalt be my dear. Feed where thou wilt, on mountain or in dale, graze on my lips, and if those hills be dry, stray lower where the pleasant fountains lie. Within this limit is relief enough, sweet bottom grass and high delightful plain, round rising hillocks, brakes obscure and rough to shelter thee from tempest and from rain. Then be, my dear, since I am such a park, no dog shall rouse thee, though a thousand bark." At this Adonis smiles, as in disdain, that in each cheek appears a pretty dimple. Love made those hollows. If himself were slain, he might be buried in a tomb so simple, for knowing well, if there he came to lie, why, there love lived, and there he could not die. These lovely caves, these round enchanting pits, opened their mouths to swallow Venus' liking. Being mad before, how doth she now for wits? Struck dead before, what needs a second striking? Poor queen of love, in thine own law forlorn, to love a cheek that smiles at thee in scorn. Now which way shall she turn? What shall she say? Her words are done, her woes the more increasing. The time is spent, her object will away, and from her twining arms urge releasing. Pity, she cries, some favour, some remorse. Away he springs, and hasteth to his horse. But lo, from forth a copse that neighbours by, a breeding jennet, lusty, young and proud, Adonis' trampling courser doth espy. And forth she rushes, snorts and neighs aloud. The strong-necked steed, being tied unto a tree, breaketh his rein, and to her straight goes he. Imperiously he leaps, he neighs, he bounds, and now his woven girths he breaks asunder. The bearing earth with his hard hoof he wounds, whose hollow womb resounds like heaven's thunder. The iron bit he crusheth tween his teeth, controlling what he was controlled with. His ears uppricked, his braided, hanging mane upon his compass crest now stand on end. His nostrils drink the air, and forth again as from a furnace vapours doth he send. His eye, which scornfully glisters like fire, shows his hot courage and his high desire. Sometime he trots, as if he told the steps, with gentle majesty and modest pride. Anon he rears upright, curvets and leaps, as who should say, lo, thus my strength is tried, and this I do to captivate the eye of the fair breeder that is standing by. What recketh he his rider's angry stir, his flattering holla, or his stand, I say? What cares he now for curb or pricking spur, for rich caparisons or trappings gay? He sees his love, and nothing else he sees, for nothing else with his proud sight agrees. Look, when a painter would surpass the life in limbing out a well-proportioned steed, his art with nature's workmanship at strife, as if the dead, the living should exceed. So did this horse excel a common one in shape, in courage, colour, pace, and bone. Round-hoofed, short-jointed, fetlocks shag and long, broad-breast, full eye, small head and nostril wide, high crest, short ears, straight legs and passing strong, thin mane, thick tail, broad buttock, tender hide. Look what a horse should have he did not lack, save a proud rider on so proud a back. Sometime he scuds far off, and there he stares, and on he starts at stirring of a feather. To bid the wind abase he now prepares, and where he run or fly they know not whether. For through his mane and tail the high wind sings, fanning the hares, who wave like feathered wings. He looks upon his love, and neighs unto her. She answers him, as if she knew his mind. Being proud as females are to see him woo her, she puts on outward strangeness, seems unkind, spurns at his love, and scorns the heat he feels, beating his kind embracements with her heels. Then, like a melancholy malcontent, he veils his tail, that like a falling plume, cool shadow to his melting buttock lent, he stamps and bites the poor flies in his fume. His love, perceiving how he was enraged, grew kinder, and his fury was assuaged. His testy master goeth about to take him, when lo, the unbacked breeder, full of fear, jealous of catching, swiftly doth forsake him, with her the horse, and left Adonis there. As they were mad, unto the wood they hie them, outstripping crows that strive to overfly them. All swoln with chafing, down Adonis sits, banning his boisterous and unruly beast. And now the happy season once more fits, that love-sick love by pleading may be blessed. For lovers say the heart hath treble wrong when it is barred the aidance of the tongue. An oven that is stopped, or river stayed, burneth more hotly, swelleth with more rage. So of concealed sorrow may be said, free vent of words love's fire doth assuage. But when the heart's attorney once is mute, the client breaks, as desperate in his suit. He sees her coming, and begins to glow, even as a dying coal revives with wind, and with his bonnet hides his angry brow, looks on the dull earth with disturbed mind, taking no notice that she is so nigh, for all askance he holds her in his eye. Oh, what a sight it was, wist it to view, how she came stealing to the wayward boy, to note the fighting conflict of her hue, how white and red each other did destroy. But now her cheek was pale, and by it flashed forth fire as lightning from the sky. Now was she just before him as he sat, and like a lowly lover down she kneels. With one fair hand she heaveth up his hat, her other tender hand his fair cheek feels. His tenderer cheek receives her soft hand's print, as apt as new-fallen snow takes any dint. Oh, what a war of looks was then between them, her eyes petitioners to his eyes suing. His eyes saw her eyes as they had not seen them, her eyes wooed still, his eyes disdained the wooing, and all this dumb play had his acts made plain with tears, which chorus-like her eyes did rain. Full gently now she takes him by the hand, a lily prisoned in a jail of snow, or ivory in an alabaster band, so white a friend and girt so white a foe. This beauteous combat, willful and unwilling, showed like two silver doves that sit a-billing. Once more the engine of her thoughts began. O fairest mover on this mortal round, would thou wert as I am, and I a man, my heart as whole as thine, thy heart my wound. For one sweet look thy help I would assure thee, though nothing but my body's bane would cure thee. Give me my hand, said he, why dost thou feel it? Give me my heart, saith she, and thou shalt have it. Or give it me, lest thy hard heart do steal it, and being steeled, soft sighs can never grave it. Then love's deep groans I never shall regard, because Adonis' heart hath made mine hard. For shame, he cries, let go and let me go. My day's delight is past, my horse is gone, and 'tis your fault I am bereft him so. I pray you hence, and leave me here alone, for all my mind, my thought, my busy care is how to get my palfrey from the mare. Thus she replies, thy palfrey, as he should, welcomes the warm approach of sweet desire. Affection is a coal that must be cooled, else suffered it will set the heart on fire. The sea hath bounds, but deep desire hath none. Therefore no marvel, though thy horse be gone. How like a jade he stood, tied to the tree, servilely mastered with a leathern rein. But when he saw his love, his youth's fair fee, he held such petty bondage in disdain, throwing the base thong from his bending crest, enfranchising his mouth, his back, his breast. Who sees his true love in her naked bed, teaching the sheets a whiter hue than white, but when his glutton eye so full hath fed, his other agents aim at like delight? Who is so faint that dares not be so bold to touch the fire, the weather being cold? Let me excuse thy courser, gentle boy, and learn of him, I heartily beseech thee, to take advantage on presented joy. Though I were dumb, yet his proceedings teach thee. Oh, learn to love, the lesson is but plain, and once made perfect, never lost again. I know not love, quoth he, nor will not know it, unless it be a bore, and then I chase it. 'Tis much to borrow, and I will not owe it. My love to love is love but to disgrace it, for I have heard it is a life in death that laughs and weeps, and all but with a breath. Who wears a garment shapeless and unfinished? Who plucks the bud before one leaf put forth? If springing things be any jot diminished, they wither in their prime, prove nothing worth. The colt that's backed and burdened, being young, loseth his pride and never waxeth strong. You hurt my hand with ringing. Let us part and leave this idle theme, this bootless chat. Remove your siege from my unyielding heart. To love's alarms it will not ope the gate. Dismiss your vows, your feigned tears, your flattery. For where a heart is hard, they make no battery.